That her? Sawyer Squirrel McClay turned to look at his friend and fellow firefighter Penelope. She was sitting on one of the couches in the fire station with her pet miniature donkey Smokey beside her. The creature had found her when she was in the middle of nowhere searching for their friend Aaron and the asshole who had kidnapped her. Smokey had been smoldering from the forest fire raging around them. Penelope had poured water on the suffering animal, and apparently that was all it took for Smokey to decide she was now his human. Squirrel couldn't complain about the small donkey being around because he was obviously doing Penelope a lot of good. She was less jumpy, less likely to lose her temper with him and the others, and more relaxed. Yup, it was unconventional to have a PTSD donkey, but what did he know? Squirrel didn't hear any censure in Penelope's tone when she asked her question, so he nodded.
Yeah.
He'd been texting Blythe nonstop for the last 20 minutes or so. Sometimes she liked to talk, but most of the time she preferred to communicate with him via text. You have any luck getting her off the streets? Squirrel pressed his lips together and shook his head.
No, and it kills me. I hate that she's out there by herself, sleeping on the ground, always having to watch her back.
You talked to Quint about her, right? He have any luck in finding her?
No.
Beth could track her through the cell phone, you know. All you have to do is ask. Squirrel knew that. Hell, Beth had volunteered the second she'd heard about Blythe's situation. He'd taken her up on her offer, but was keeping that information to himself for now. He knew without a doubt that if Blythe found out he'd interfered in any way with her life, he'd never hear from her again, and that thought hurt. He'd gotten to know the woman pretty well over the last few months, and he wanted to believe that she wouldn't just disappear on him after all this time, but he couldn't take the chance. She was special, more than special, and it literally hurt his heart when he thought about her being cold, hot, hungry, dirty, and in danger. And he knew from talking with both Tad and Louise that living on the streets was definitely dangerous. The older couple had taken Blythe under their wing when they were living in an abandoned building next to a hospital. The night Dr. Shane Kingsley had set fire to the building, the night Squirrel first met Blythe had been more than chaotic. Tad and Louise had ended up in the hospital, and Blythe had disappeared in the confusion. Squirrel had inadvertently given her his cell phone. It had been in the pocket of the sweatshirt he'd changed out of in the back of the fire truck on the way to the fire. With no thought other than getting her warm, he'd given Blythe his sweatshirt that night. He'd been annoyed at first when she disappeared with his phone, but decided the vulnerable woman needed it way more than he did. So instead of calling his provider to cancel the phone and number, he simply got another cell. And then he began to text his old number, knowing texts would show up on the home screen and she could see them without having to unlock the phone. It had taken 2 weeks of constant texts before she'd finally replied. He'd given her the code to unlock his phone so she would have complete access. Yeah, she could still read his emails, and she'd been able to read texts from people before they'd received his new number, but he had nothing to hide. The first time Blythe had responded, Squirrel had felt inordinately pleased. Her text had been short and to the point, but it was a start. She'd merely written, "You're insane." She'd only met him once, and even that encounter had been short. Squirrel knew giving her the phone and continuing to communicate with her was a bit odd, but it was refreshing to talk to someone who didn't want anything from him other than a simple conversation. It seemed as if his entire life, he was the guy women wanted to be friends with. They wanted help with their homework. They wanted him to help set them up with his firefighter friends. He wasn't an idiot. He knew what women saw when they looked at him. A tall, skinny guy with glasses. They judged him based on his looks alone without bothering to get to know him. He didn't fit what they thought they wanted, namely a gorgeous, tall, buff hunk of a man who would fall at their feet and worship them until they were old and gray.